I take the word of the Lord and turn to the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 1. And this morning we'll be reading the whole chapter, chapter 1 of Acts, verses 1 through 26. This book that was written by the by Luke, the one who wrote Luke's gospel, this is kind of the part 2 of Luke's gospel. He's writing to the same man, Theophilus, and sets before us the history of the early church. And so Acts chapter 1, this is God's holy word, and it is for us, His people. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up to heaven, after He had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom He had chosen. To these He also presented Himself alive after His suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, He said, you heard of from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, Lord, is it at this time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go up, go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. And at this time Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren. A gathering of about 120 persons was there together, and said, Brethren, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his intestines gushed out. And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language that field was called Hecadama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and let another man take his office. Therefore it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two You have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias. And he was added to the 11 apostles. And that is God's word. And so this chapter sets for us the state of Acts to be a record the completion of the earthly ministry of Jesus in and through the work of the apostles. By the same Spirit through whom Jesus commands the apostles on earth, He will continue to personally direct their finishing of His earthly ministry. And so the agenda is the Father's. The power is of the Spirit, and it will be accomplished and completed to the glory of the Son. Jesus will permit nothing to be incomplete, not even the number of the apostles. And so we must fully trust and fully obey the apostolic teaching, every bit as much as if Jesus had given it in the flesh Himself. And so this calls us to obedience and prayer and study of the Scriptures, action, patience. And the book before us, as I already said, is the second part of Luke's Gospel. And we have the description of the 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus bodily, that He showed in many ways the reality of His resurrection. He appeared, it says in other places, more than 500 people at one time. He appeared to many people. They are given, verse 8, the Great Commission. And this is the second place the Great Commission is given, besides in the Gospels. And here in verse 8, upon the Spirit's coming upon them in a greater way than before, they were to make disciples of all nations, starting with where they were. They're in Jerusalem. They start there. And they will reach out to the whole world. Wherever they go, they were to make disciples, which we have a glimpse of through their making their way through the world through Paul's missionary journeys. His four missionary journeys that we have in this book. And the pouring out of the Holy Spirit we see talked about here. We often have questions of the difference of what does it mean before? What is the Spirit's work before Pentecost? What is it after Pentecost? And the real difference is in the sheer quantity and the exhibit, the equal exhibition of power of the Spirit. As an illustration, we might say that the Spirit was sprinkled out before Christ, like water sprinkled out of an eyedropper. We saw Him working specifically within the nation of Israel. And then at Pentecost, this pouring out of the Holy Spirit was not just a sprinkle anymore, but it's a pouring out like water being poured out of a bucket. Contrasted against the eyedropper. And so the Holy Spirit comes in greater power and comes out in sheer quantity upon many people, even the Gentiles, in great abundance. And so Christ ascends into heaven to the very throne of God where He's seated on the throne. And He rules as the eternal King, and Christ reigns now. He still reigns. And through verse 11, we see that he will return in the second coming, the same way in which He came, through the clouds descending. And the apostles, it says, return to Jerusalem. And they're spending their time in continual prayer. It says, along with the women, who might be Mary and Martha, or it might be read, because it's the same word in Greek, wives and women. It might mean along with their wives here. The apostles' wives. And it says, and Mary was there, Jesus' mother. And along with Jesus' mother was James and Jude, who we looked at last week, and John, and also the other brothers of Jesus, the rest of Jesus' brothers. And James and Jude, notice, because we made mention of it last week in John, they were unbelievers then, John 7. But here is the first mention that they have become believers, or at least they're showing fruit of being believers. They're there in continual prayer. And that's the first mention in Scripture where they're shown to have been believers. And the total people at this prayer meeting, which lasted a long time, continually devoting themselves there to it, were 120 people, verse 15. And that's where Peter stood up and he addressed them. David's prophecy, what happened to Judas, has come true. The Lord's been faithful again. And the betrayal of Jesus that He made, and because Judas is not an apostle any longer because of his death, one must replace him. As it says in Psalm 108, may the days of the wicked man be few, may another take his office. That's what it's quoted there in verse 20. And so this man to replace him has to be one who was with the apostles where they went and was a witness to the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. who had witnessed his ascension. And so of the 120 people there, which included women, maybe children, there were put up two men. And the 120 people put up the two men. I noticed that about perhaps how we are to call elders and deacons. The congregation put them up. And Joseph, called Barsabbas, or Justice is called, and also Matthias. And they pray to the Lord, because they don't know the hearts of these men. They just saw the outward appearance. They see the fruit of the men that God has worked in them. But God knows the hearts, and so they pray to Him. And after prayer, and their knowledge of both men seemingly being equally qualified, they cast lots. Casting lots is not in place of wisdom. It's not in place of diligence. We don't say we should cast lots just because we want to decide something. We don't know what to do, and we just throw the cast of lots. It's not in place of wisdom or diligence, but rather in addition to them. When righteousness and wisdom has left you with two equal godly biblical options, and that's what they had here. And so casting lots is done in complete confidence that the Lord is the one who decides the lot. And upon their complete confidence in the Lord with prayer, the Lord chose Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. And to have that number be 12 again, that relates to the 12 tribes of Israel, and we'll see in glory the 12 or the 24 elders there. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for this great information, these things that actually did happen. We know Luke, the Holy Spirit working through Luke, was one of the most, gave the most details in what happened, and we thank You for His details here of Christ's ascension, the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, which will come in the very next chapter, which has already come. We know the Holy Spirit has come. He's been poured out, so we don't have to worship like Jesus talked about in John. We don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship there at the temple, where there is no temple, but that we can worship wherever the Holy Spirit has indwelled His people, wherever two or three are gathered. There He is. And in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we praise You for this Spirit that You have poured out, and we praise You that You have, in Your Son, ascended. He ascended into heaven, and that He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And so, Father, we ask that You would pour forth Your Spirit and cause in men's hearts to be changed, and that You would give faith, the gift of faith, to Your elect, that they would believe in the only Son, the only name under which, under heaven, by which one must be saved from death and judgment and Your wrath. They would be delivered from what Judas experiences now. A soul separated from the Lord in eternity. One day the body will be reunited to that soul. Well, Father, we ask that our souls, as we are bodies, as we die in the future, that our bodies being united to our souls would not be to dishonor and destruction and judgment and wrath, but it would be to glory and to be in the presence of the Lord forever as we look forward to now in our worship, that You would be glorified and praised through not only the ascension of Your Son, but the session as He's seated on the throne, ruling. And so He's sovereign over all creation, as He's already, as we see in many places throughout Scripture. As we'll see this morning in Genesis as we look there at that Scripture. Our Father, we thank You that You have given us Your Son, the one who sits on the throne, who's in complete control. And Father, as You worked in the apostles to bring about many disciples throughout the world, we ask that You would continue that work, especially among the elders of the church, but even among the members, all the members who have breath, that through their breathing they would praise the Lord. and that men would hear the word. The men of the world, the women of the world, children of the world would hear the word. They would see our good works, and they would glorify the Father who is in heaven. And these are our prayers. We ask that you would answer according to your will, because we pray in the only name that you hear our prayers in, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.